Read just two passages from the Epistle to the Romans. Romans chapter 3, page 1351. Romans 3 and verse 23. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace, through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth a mercy seat through faith in his blood. In chapter 8 of the same book, first verse, there is then now no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. Harry Brown was a young man of just over 17 years age. And he worked in the steelworks in Lancashire some years ago. One day the inspector, who was a Christian, visited the steelworks and met Harry, and he said, "Very good morning to you, Harry." And Harry replied, "A good morning to you, sir." And the inspector said, "Are you all right?" "Yes, I'm all right." "No, you're not," said the inspector. "I'm all right, and I'm all right for eternity." Harry was quite put back about this, and he went away, and he couldn't get that word out of his head. "I'm all right for eternity." Next week, the inspector came in again, and, "Very good morning to you, Harry." Harry replied, "Good morning, sir." And Spence, "Are you all right?" He says, "Well, I'm half right." And the inspector said, "No, you're not. You're either right or you're wrong." Well, this was even more difficult for Harry to take in. And he decided that he would go home and visit his grandmother, who was a Christian lady of some years. And he discussed things with her, and she pointed to a verse that she had in the wall, which said, "In peace may I resign my breath, and thy salvation see. My sins deserved eternal bliss, eternal death, but Jesus died for me." He didn't understand what this meant, Harry, and took it away with him and thought about it and thought about it, and he was determined to be ready for his tormentor the next visit. True to form, the inspector came in and says, "Very good morning to you, Harry." "Yeah, good morning to you, sir." "Are you all right?" "No," he says, "I'm all wrong." And the inspector laid his hand on his shoulder. And he said, "When a young man comes to a conclusion that he's all wrong, God can do something for him." And he spoke to him, and he invited him to attend a preaching the next day. Well, this was maybe a step too far for Harry. He wasn't too keen, and he said no. But there were two other Christians in the place he worked, and they persuaded him to come, and he arranged to meet one of them at the entrance to the hall. And with many misgivings, he met this chap, thinking that he could just sneak in, you know, just at the back there. And to his horror, he was led to the front of the hall. And the singing started, and he thought, "My, they're very happy, there's a joyful company." And then the preacher started. Just as a little aside, the preacher was a Scotsman. Preacher started, and Harry felt that he was just speaking to him, no one else. And he felt punched and kicked all through that preaching, as his own life was exposed to him, and what he was as a sinner was exposed. And he couldn't get out of that hall fast enough. Couldn't sleep that night. Went to his work the next day, and one of his mates said, "How did you go on last night?" "Oh," he says, "I didn't." He says, "Well, what are coming along tonight?" And very reluctantly he went back. And what he said was, it was worse than the first night. Anyhow, he kept going for 2 weeks for that preaching. And as the days got on, he became more and more convinced that he was a sinner before God. And then the last night of the preaching, when the preacher had finished, a trembling Harry Brown stood up and opened his heart and said, Lord Jesus, I accept thee as my personal Saviour. And he felt the peace and joy flooding into his heart. After some time, some years, he and his wife ended up in South Africa, living amongst the natives and preaching the gospel well into his 90s. Now, friend, before I say any more, I want to ask you, are you all right with God? Are you all right for eternity? This book that I've read from, Romans, shows each of us how to get right for eternity. And I just want to press upon you the great need that each of us has is to come to know the Lord Jesus personally as a Saviour, so that happily you can say, along with many here, I'm all right for eternity. You know, each of us before God, as our first scripture says, are sinners. And in that state, we stand before the greatest throne in the universe. That's chapter 3 of Romans. No exceptions. Every man in this world, and when I say man, I include woman as well, every person in this world stands in that throne, before that throne. There's no jury like the courts of this world. There's one judge, the judge of all the earth, and he's never nor ever could make a wrong judgment yet. And when he sees you and me there in our sins, we're condemned. Every man is before that throne. We didn't read it, but the man who says there is no God, the atheist, he's there. The man who lives what externally looks a moral, good living life, he's there. The man who goes to church every week or to a meeting place, he's there. You're there. I'm there. Friend, what is going to be the outcome as being found in sin before God? Well, if we go back to the beginning of the Bible, God had said in his word, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. So I stand there before this throne as a sinner. Is God going to exercise that judgment on me? And yet the same person who stands in Romans 3 as a sinner before God can stand in that verse I read in Romans chapter 8, condemned in chapter 3, uncondemned, clear of condemnation in chapter 8. Has God lowered his standard? Has God changed his word? Never. But God has found a way whereby the condemned sinner can be totally relieved of his condemnation as a sinner and can stand righteously before him as without one spot of condemnation on him. What has happened? How has this been brought about? Friend, how it has been brought about is not by any effort of the human race, but God has sent his man, his son, into this world to take on sin and the whole question of sin. And I can happily say, to take on my sins and the sins who all put their trust in him. Put their trust in him. And by sending his son into this world, and that son meeting the question of sin and sins, there's hope for you. There's hope for me. There's a door opened of blessing that secures your present salvation and your eternal salvation as well. You know, if we're left here in the course of things, we're all going to die. Are you ready? What faces you if death came upon you tonight? You know that breath that you have, that you breathe day in, day out, that breath is not in your hands. It's in the hands of God, the Creator God. And that breath can be withdrawn at any time. What then if death were to overcome you? Death was to come upon you. What would it be? Would it be blessing with the Lord Jesus? Or would it be under the judgment of God? Very solemn, isn't it? But that's the glad tidings. Not only do we preach a God who is love and a God who extends his grace to you, but we also preach a God who's put judgment into the hands of his Son, and that judgment will be exercised if you refuse the grace of God. You know, Fanny Crosby wrote many hymns. She was blind for most of her life, and she died in her 90s. One of the verses she composed was, "Someday my earthly house will fall. I do not know how soon 'twill be, but this I know, my all in all has now in heaven a place for me. And I shall see him face to face and tell the story, saved by grace." Many here have a story to tell of the grace of God. What story have you to say about your life? Have you come in contact with the Lord Jesus and found that what he accomplished at Calvary is sufficient to cover your sins and your need? He's available to you tonight. And the God who, in whose presence you are condemned, points you tonight to Christ, to the Saviour, to his shed blood at Calvary, because that's the sad bit, that's the solemn bit, that this one who was went about here doing good, his precious blood was shed at Calvary. What for? That you might put your trust in it and own him and accept that that blood was shed for you. What a person he is. What a Saviour. What is your position? I don't know you. I don't know you. This may be the first time you've been at a gospel preaching. But you know that deep down in your heart, you have a need. You need to be prepared for eternity. How is that preparation going to be brought about? Are you going to do good? It's no use, dear friend. Are you going to accomplish some great feat? It's no use. There's only one thing that will secure your eternal blessing, and that is by you putting your trust in the blood of Christ and in the person of Christ. So there you are, along with the myriads who stand before this throne. Rich, poor, the king on the throne, the beggar at the street corner, old and young, everyone, no exception. And God says there's no difference. This is the place where the human race is leveled out. Society done away with. God looks on you as one of his creatures, and sadly, because of sin and the power of sin in this world and your sins, you find yourself before God tonight, not before the preacher, before God, presence of God, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, I'm glad the story didn't stop there. I'm glad. Being justified freely. How could you be justified if you're a sinner? Go to the courts of this land with some offense you've committed, and you're found guilty, and that record is against your name. Look up the records in a few years, and it will show your name, and you was guilty of whatever punishment was handed out. I know a far greater court than that. Court where God is the judge. And despite your sins, if in that court you plead the blood of Christ, your record as a sinner is erased before God. Because Jesus has borne your sins, and as you trust in him, that clearance applies to you, and you're justified before God. Not only did my Savior suffer at Calvary's tree and die and finish the work, but in death he destroyed this power and he rose from the grave. And part of the blessing of his resurrection is that he died in order that you and I might be justified before God. Everything is righteous before God. We have to do with a righteous, a holy God. And his terms, his attributes, his nature have all been justified in what Christ has accomplished. And he appeals to you tonight, just as you are, not having turned over the new leaf, just as you are, to own that you're a sinner before God and come into the blessing of salvation as believing on the Lord Jesus. Condemned, but then there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Your position has changed. You're taken from that court, having trusted the blood of Christ, and now you're before God as a forgiven sinner, as a justified sinner. You're before God all the blessedness and worth of his own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That can be yours. You say, but surely I have something to do. Nothing to do. Just believe. The work has all been done. It's finished. And all you need to do is just like Harry Brown, accept that you're a sinner and own him sitting in your seat there or standing up if you wish and say, Lord Jesus, I confess my sins before you and I want you to become my Savior. This book of Romans not only shows the way to be right with God and right for eternity, it also shows you how God views you. And you can stand on your feet righteously before God. Righteously. There you were, laden with sins before him, but as forgiven because of the worth and blood of Christ, you can stand righteously before God. And your life's changed. You can walk differently. Walk in newness of life. Walk differently. The book itself doesn't exactly take you to heaven, but you're on the road to heaven. Oh friend, what road are you in? To continue in your sins? To continue as a wrongdoer? Or to be on the road to heaven with the hope of being with Christ throughout all eternity? That's my simple message for this gospel preaching. The blessing that you get in Christ cannot be taken away from you. If I'd read further on in that chapter in Romans 8, the writer there, Paul, he sums it all up. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, things to come, nor powers, the height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you want the blessing that is for just a few moments? Or do you want the blessing that will last your whole life and beyond for all eternity? May you accept him tonight as your personal Savior. And may each of us know what it is to be standing before God in righteousness and walking in a new way, in newness of life, with the hope of being with our Savior, the Lord Jesus, for all eternity. And may God bless the world.
Amen. Amen.